from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Now it's time for Inside the Clubhouse, a show dedicated to the Chicago baseball fan, featuring the best Chicago baseball conversation, as well as the big MLB topics, along with the biggest names, greatest guests, and listener interaction on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Saturday morning, Chicago, and yes, it does appear that the Cubs are on their way again, aren't they? Welcome back inside the clubhouse right here on 670 The Score and your free Odyssey app, broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios.
They got the hustle. Yeah. They got the muscle. Yeah. The Chicago Cubs are on their way.
I wonder whose idea it was to play that coming in. That's Bruce Levine. I'm David Hall. We're here till 11 o'clock talking baseball like we do every Saturday morning. Maybe a little giddy this morning trying to figure out what the Cubs are going to do with this five-game winning streak they're in the midst of. And also what the White Sox are going to do now that they've made Garrett Crochet a part-timer. Good morning, Bruce. How are you?
I'm doing great, David. Obviously, some good baseball from the Northsiders has picked up the step for me and I think a lot of baseball fans in Chicago. And, you know, over at Guaranteed Rate, just talking to a lot of people that I know, they're baseball people from both sides, people that work there, it's just like, there's nothing more difficult than going through a baseball season with the best city, the best sports city in the world in Chicago, and two baseball teams that were under 500 in last place. That was just a little difficult. I think the expectations certainly were there for the White Sox, David, not to be good this year. But the Cubs were such underachievers for 2 months, and there's a little bit to be optimistic about now.
What a week it has been. The Cubs haven't lost since last Saturday. Winners of now five straight, seven of the last eight, put themselves back into wild card contention. And as you point out, Bruce, revive some interest in a team that was the most disappointing in baseball. Let's set the stage. They are coming off a 5-1 victory in St. Louis behind Kyle Hendricks on Friday night. They have a doubleheader today. And then the game before the All-Star break on Sunday, 46-49, they have kind of changed the direction of their season in this defining week. The White Sox, they were 4-1 losers on the south side. Garrett Crochet went two innings. We'll get to that. We have Drew Thorpe at 10 o'clock today. We have Dan Kantrovitz at 10:30. There's a draft tomorrow. Speaking about the future, we're stuck in the present, though, Bruce, because what the Cubs have done this week, we can talk all about the timely hitting. We can talk all about Ian Happ and the surge he's on, and Michael Bush and what he's doing at the plate, and Seiya Suzuki as well. But this is all about the Cubs pitching their way back into relevance because their starting pitching has been historically good this week. The first time since 1971, when that song was here, was being played on a regular basis. The first time since 1971, they've gone 32 innings and not giving up a single run.
The one constant, David, is starting pitching. So
yes.
I'll steal from James Earl Jones and say that has been something the Chicago Cubs could hang their hat on all year. And it's the only reason that they have been able to stay afloat this far, because that has come back. But I don't know if you can point to any game this year as more important, more essential than what Hendricks did last night.
I think you're right, but I say that without hesitation, but then, Bruce, I go back to the Orioles series, which was downright dominant. And after the first victory, Pat Hughes said on 670 The Score, the Hall of Famer, I think this was the best victory of the season. After the game two, they won that one. I think Pat said, I think this might be the second best game of the season. And after the third blowout, we're like, which was your favorite victory? Because they were all so good. And then you get last night's performance from Kyle Hendricks, which I'll fess up. On Friday morning on the Mullin Haw Show, we had a caller, I think it was Austin, who said, can't wait for Kyle Hendricks to take the mound against the Cardinals because that's where he does his best work. And I'm like, and Mully's like, really? Really? He had a sore back in two innings the last time he was out on Saturday. Do you want him on the mound? No. But then Kyle Hendricks did what he often does in that environment, on that mound. He shut down the Cardinals. And Bruce, you have to give him credit. Seven scoreless, Kyle Hendricks came through in a big way.
Kyle Hendricks, with that nice guy exterior and the affable way that he has always presented himself, is a killer inside, okay? And that is the only way a guy with an 87 or 88 mile an hour fastball his whole career has been able to be a top pitcher in baseball for the last 10 years. And betting against Kyle Hendricks, you know, you would have done really well the beginning of the year. You would have got killed yesterday, okay? I think the odds were highly against him. And again, you know, going back to the Baltimore series, as you did, David, You're right. Those three starts, but when you look at those, they were so important. But that was their three best pitchers, okay? They expected good starts out of them. When it comes to these four games, and the reason I said the Hendricks starts yesterday was so essential and so important was that I looked at this series going, well, you don't have your top pitchers. You're going to have a bullpen game in the doubleheader. You got four games in 3 days. You are waiting to try to get through today's doubleheader and then tie on tomorrow before the All-Star break. You have to try to win two out of the four, okay? That's what I was thinking, to be optimistic about the Cubs going into the weekend. Now you have the ability to do that and a little bit more if luck falls your way and you get enough pitching. That is, the essential part of this weekend. So that's why I said winning that game, to me, the odds were so far against them yesterday. I think just starting that weekend with another win was huge for them.
I think you're exactly right, Bruce. It was because of who was on the mound and because of how much the Cubs wanted to get off to a good start in a four-game series on the road again that Craig Counsell sounded so relieved or elated talking about what Kyle Hendricks delivered.
Coming off his last start, and just to go seven innings tonight was, you know, we couldn't ask for any more. He pitched wonderfully. I thought he was just great. I mean, it was just really similar to the San Francisco start. Did a great job and, set us up to, have some success tomorrow as well.
Bruce, you mentioned the starting pitching, and here's another statistic because they have piled up this week. This is the first time the Cubs have allowed three or fewer runs in a five-game span, a spin through the rotation. The first time three or fewer runs in a five-game span since 1972. And that tells you that's 52 years ago. This week, not only decisive victories, not only defining in this season, but historically good. And you have to you have to give them credit because I did not think that this was going to happen this week the way that it did. It means nothing if you don't capitalize, and really it means nothing if you lose three straight and lose the series in St. Louis, but they put themselves in a position to capitalize.
That was Mel Pappas, Bert Hooten, and and Rick Rushel in that rotation at that time. Fergie, right. So you had some pretty good pitching back then. But, you know, realistically, David, getting excited about a team that's under 500, it's bad form.
Okay.
You know, and in general, it's bad baseball form.
Okay.
All right? But getting excited about a team playing up to its ability, finally, without being buried because of the extra wild cards that are out there these days, for modern baseball, it's pretty good.
I'm in bad form then. I'm the most uncool Cub fan ever because when Dansby Swanson came through again last night, I'm like, yes! I'm talking to myself and my dogs. I'm like, come on. Bruce, it's okay to get a little excited. This has been a season of misery. How many times have we come here on Saturday morning and called the Cubs the most disappointing team in baseball? That's boring. That's bad. This isn't. This is the opposite of that. So if this bad form to compliment and get excited about a 46-49 team, okay, guilty as charged.
The only thing that's changed is line drives. And, you know, I listen to the shows on our station, which are really informative and good during the week. And you get great breakdowns on, you know, all kinds of statistical matter, which is interesting and factual. But the reality is they're hitting line drives, okay? They're hitting it down the line. The middle of the order is doing what they're supposed to do. Suzuki's back to being the type of hitter he was in August and September last year. Even with Bellinger going down and probably out for a month, the lineup is just starting to hit. They're starting to play the type of baseball they thought they could. And this is not going to be a great home run team. They're not going to hit a ton of home runs, but they can double you to death, especially with the ascension of Michael Busch in that lineup. Give Craig Counsell credit for whatever you want to give him credit for. I give him credit for identifying Michael Busch when he was striking out 40% of the time about 3 or 4 weeks ago and saying, I think Michael Busch is coming along. I think he should bat number two in our lineup. And that has been a difference in the Chicago Cubs over the last few weeks.
I give him credit for being the same guy, whether they're winning five in a row or stuck in neutral or going backward. Craig Counsell is the same guy with the same pulse rate and the same inflection points and all the things after the games and before the games and every time he speaks into a microphone. Craig Counsell never changes, and I think that is when you start to appreciate it, when you go through some adversity and you start to have a little success. Bruce, let's zoom out, though. I want you to tell me what this means big picture. We have a team now that has gotten hot, finally. They also are without Cody Bellinger, who broke his finger and is on the 10-day injured list, and I think you speculated on the Mullin Haas show, might be out a month. That's a big loss. What does this mean big picture for a team as we sit here today, 17 days before the trade deadline, and the debate continues whether or not they're going to be buyers or sellers? I don't think it is a debate. I think you've got to look to buy more than sell, but what do you think?
Well, why don't we listen to Jed Hoyer and what he was on yesterday on our afternoon show with Spiegel and Danny Parkins. Let's hear from Jed Hoyer about what he feels he needs to do to be able to add at the trading deadline.
Last year, I think we talked about that. It just sort of felt like the way we were playing, and we'd already played that way for a stretch before, so it wasn't like out of nowhere. You know, the way we played it in that stretch, it felt like, you know, this is clearly the right thing to do for this group. The most important thing for us right now is that, you know, we went 8-plus weeks playing, you know, really poor baseball. I think we all felt like that isn't who we are. This last week has been positive. Like, my hope is that we can, you know, continue to play well for the next, you know, for the next couple weeks. And hopefully with that, you know, those odds that you talk about, you know, keep going up.
Good stuff from Jed Hoyer, Bruce. I think he sounded like a guy willing to pivot and also willing to be patient. and maybe they don't know yet. But I do think that this has been a very defining week. And if the Cubs are three games out of the wild card spot as they are right now, and right now they've got the Diamondbacks and the Padres and the Pirates in front of them, if this continues to be the case as we get closer to the deadline, they have an obligation in a big market like Chicago with the payroll that they have to give their fan base something to look forward to and to either stand pat, which I think would not be ideal, or to go out and try to get a bullpen addition, a big bat, or both to make a run, because you're not in a position maybe to think you're a World Series contender this year, but you do want to sneak in. You just want to get in the back door. And once you're in the tournament, as Jim Bowden said on The Score earlier this week, once you're in that tournament, anything can happen when you have starting pitching like the Cubs have starting pitching.
Wow, he said that? How brilliant.
What's that?
I mean,
Where'd that stray come from, Bruce?
Anything can happen? I mean, wow.
No, he went through the Cubs. If you were listening on Monday morning, and I know that you typically do, but he told Dan Weider was sitting in, and Jim Bowden was a good guest, and he said once the Cubs get in with their starting pitching, you can envision them going Steele, and you could envision them going Tyone, and you can envision them going Assad, and maybe, you know, they've got options, and they are dangerous if they can just get in. So I would encourage Jed Hoyer to just get in.
You better get a closer, okay?
That's brilliant.
You better get a big arm at the end, okay? That's. I don't know if that's equally brilliant to Bowden, but I would say if you're going to add, okay, I would, even if you have to skip getting a bat like Candelario last year, give me two bullpen guys, okay? And outside of trading Cassie and Triano, you know, some of the really young studs, I would say we could, you could probably get away with trading some of your depth in your organization. David, if you really have it, I mean, is this Cub organization, which is ranked second or third, depending on who you're looking at, how deep is it really? And how much do the other teams value the Chicago Cub players? That's, I think, what we're going to find out in the next couple of weeks here when they start looking to make trades.
That's what we don't know, and I think sometimes we can overvalue that. You just traded our producer, though, Bruce. Robbie Triano is our producer. James Triantos is the Cubs prospect, who is this object of some teams' desires. I don't know about Owen Casey. I don't know what teams value in him. I don't know what the Cubs value in him. But I think that when you go to make a deal, the Cubs are in a good position to make a deal because of the respect their organization has had, whether that comes in the terms of rankings or just evaluation. But I would encourage them to make a deal.
The scary part of player evaluation from the minor leagues, David, is you bring guys up, a couple of them get hurt, like Wicks and Brown, and then you start looking around. And they were really good, and they were an essential part of this team. Then you start looking around and going, wow, our depth just disappeared at the major league level, in the minor leagues. What do we really have? And does anybody in the minor leagues have six, let's say five or six players that can step right up into the major leagues and start playing well? I think we've seen it over the last few years that the Dodgers have players like that. We saw the Phillies team without their top hitters and players that could play a little bit. But when push comes to shove, how many minor league systems can really support that major league team going four, five, six deep in position players? It's a real crapshoot there.
It's a really good question, Bruce, because how you evaluate each respective minor league system depends on the evaluator, and which brings us back to Jed Hoyer. There's some pressure. There's some urgency. I think Jed enters next year, the final year of his contract, and even though I have referred to him as the best executive in town, any sport, I think he's been here long enough to earn that designation. He's sharp. He's accessible. And I think he has had a degree of success. A lot of people will text in and say, you're crazy, Haw. But I do think Jed Hoyer has earned the benefit of the doubt. but he does also have the obligation and urgency that faces him right now. So when he appeared on the Parkinson Spiegel show Friday afternoon, Danny Parkins asked him about the realities that he faces contractually and what that effect will have on his job.
My first year, you know, we obviously slashed payroll. We traded away the core. You know, I think that, like, at the end of that first year, sort of where we were as an organization was not positive, you know, and I'm super proud of, you know, going to the beginning of this year, having a top two farm system, having a really talented team. I think that, like, we've obviously made great strides. Our May and June were disappointing, and that's undeniable. You know, it's not about me. You know, I think that, you know, I'm proud of our staff, and we've made really good decisions, but obviously I think that we need to, you know, like, we need to do better than we did in May and June. It's about, you know, making good decisions and doing the right thing for the Cubs. Lord knows the Cubs are certainly bigger than I am.
Bruce, how much urgency do you think Jed faces in his job? And that doesn't really matter what we think, but I'm talking about how much Tom Ricketts is expecting.
I don't think you can general manage from the president's point of view up there scared, okay? You can't do it, okay? I don't think he's afraid. I do think that he's human. He hears the responses. He knows that this is on him after 83 wins last year. Expectations of bringing in a new manager, paying him $40 million, not really changing the roster all that much. Although you have to say that the two big moves that he made have been tremendously impactful so far, Imanaga and Bush. You have arguably your top hitter as far as getting things done all year, and certainly along with Steele, 1 and 2 in your rotation. So from that perspective, it's funny, David. He looks a lot better this week than he did last week, doesn't he?
There's no doubt about it. There's no question.
You gave him the backwards compliment of being the best executive in Chicago, right? That's the tallest small person, right?
Well, I think that Kyle Davidson had a good week. Ryan Poles is really hot right now, Bruce. So take the compliment and run. But yeah. You're right. It is a temporary designation, and he has work to do. And I don't think the offseason necessarily, Bruce, was what Jed added. It was where he stopped adding. It was like you were one bat short. Go out and get it. Why were they not as aggressive in going and getting J.D. Martinez or somebody like that? So that's where the criticism, I think, was appropriate heading into this year. There was so much focus on Cody Bellinger that, okay, you got Belly to come back. I think you were maybe one player short or one guy shy of having a really good offseason. But that debate continues, and we'll continue to count down to the trade deadline. The Cubs back in action today. They've got a doubleheader. You can hear all right here on the score, beginning with the pregame, 12:40. Hayden Wesneski and Lance Lynn in the first game, the nightcap. The Cubs are going the bullpen route, right, Bruce? That's the approach in the nightcap against the Cardinals?
Yeah, I think we're getting Assad back at some point here this weekend. So he might be a part of that second game mix. I think he'll have roughly 3 to 4 innings, 60 pitches, something like that in the tank. I think that's where they're probably going to go with him. So we'll probably see that as well.
That certainly would help. All right, on the south side, Garrett Crochet was on a pitch count. He went 2 innings. We will talk about that. We'll also hear from the other guy in town. He's a pretty good pitcher. His name's Paul Skeens, and he had something to say in admiration of Garrett Crochet. That was very interesting stuff we'll get to. We're going to be here until 11 o'clock, and right now we are givers here at Inside the Clubhouse, and we want to give away 2 tickets to the Mully and Haw Show Extravaganza. Thursday morning, July 18th, Blue Cross Blue Shield, the performance studio, Blue Cross Blue Shield, one of the sponsors. We're having a live studio audience for the Mully and Haw Show. Schmaltz Deli will be catering the event. It's going to be a lot of fun. Special guests, I think Olin Krutz is coming. Dave Wanstead is coming. There'll be a lot of other people there. You can be too. 312-540-0670. Be the fifth caller. Be the fifth caller to the Scores contest line, and you can join us Thursday morning, and Mully will shake your hand. I guarantee it, Mully will shake your hand if you get in right now, 312-540-0670. Probably even take a selfie with you. I think I can talk Mully into that. Maybe Dustin, too. A lot of fun. on Thursday. A lot of fun still here until 11. When we come back, you'll hear from Paul Skeens on Garrett Crochet. It's Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I'm a crossfire righty, a crossfire low slot righty. And he's a, you know, crossfire lefty, but he has something like 7 feet of extension and also throws 99 to 100. Like, but, you know, it's tough for hitters. And it's a different angle obviously than me, but just trying to pick stuff off him. As I watch him, it's fun to watch him move, man.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haw.
Boy, that's cool to hear Paul Skeens talk about Garrett Crochet, game recognizing game greatness, recognizing greatness. Paul Skeens is the best pitcher in Major League Baseball right now. David Haw, Bruce Levine, till 11 o'clock, talking baseball on Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Bruce, I think that there's an element of disappointment, maybe, as ridiculous as that might sound, that Paul Skeens is not going to be pitching in Chicago over the weekend. I know the Sox bats might have a hard time touching that 100-mile-per-hour fastball, but you want to see the best in the game when they're in your city. Maybe it's a good opportunity for the White Sox to win a game because Skeens won't be on the mound, but I think it's a missed opportunity for fans to see one of the guys who has emerged and now is the National League's All-Star Game starter.
You get to see the best pitcher in baseball. Crochet pitches every 5 days. So, look, Skeens is a monster. This is a guy, he's a generational pitcher that comes around every 30 years, okay? It's Doc Gooden. It's Fernando. It's Strasburg. That is the ilk that we're talking about with Skeens. And talking to him with a group of reporters yesterday, there's one thing that really stands out about him, David, that is constant with the other names, the Tom Seaver types that I talk about, and it's that you look in their eyes when they talk, and it's the confidence that they have when they're talking about themselves, their ability, their team, what they expect to do. This guy expects to go out and dominate people every time he goes out. And I did ask him a question about exactly what I'm talking about, David. I asked Skeens, what is it that you expect to dominate every single time you go out?
I think as long as I've been pitching, that's kind of how it's been. Even when I wasn't who I am now, it's just in terms of my identity as a pitcher, I think it's just about going out there and attacking and executing, because that's all that really matters. I think it's probably a little bit easier to do as a pitcher than it is a hitter, so it's not something that I necessarily always had as a hitter, but just being able to put everything aside and just go out and execute, I think that's what it comes down to.
I think the Pirates were smart the other night because of the greatness we're talking about. You can hear it in his voice of confidence you referred to. Seven no-hit innings against the Brewers, and he came out of the game. 99 pitches, you don't want to risk going 110, 120. You don't want to be the latest example of a pitcher that was overused. You take the cautious approach, and you play the long game with a guy like that, Bruce. And I think that you're exactly right. You know it when you see it, and what you see in Paul Skenes is just greatness.
I've never seen a guy with two different fastballs that play up in the strike zone, ever. I've never seen a guy that has a 99 to 100-mile-an-hour four-seamer and a 96-mile-an-hour two-seamer, and being able to be pinpointed with both. Can you imagine being a hitter trying to prepare for, well, what fastball am I getting? What zone am I looking in? You're mentally, if he has his command that day at all, you're mentally defeated from the first batter on, just about.
You won't see him in Chicago. You will see him Tuesday night at the All-Star Game in Arlington, Texas. He'll start for the National League. Maybe Garrett Crochet will start for the American League. Who knows? But last night, if you got there late, you missed him, because two innings was all that Garrett Crochet was allowed to pitch. He was on a strict pitch count. Bruce, I think this will be the rule more than the exception, maybe in the second half of the season. Pedro Grifol alluded to it post-game. What did you think about their very cautious approach with Garrett Crochet at this stage of the season? And if he remains in a White Sox uniform, do you think this will be the approach they take throughout the rest of the year?
Closer is what I saw last night. Two dominant innings, four strikeouts. Is that a way to dumb down the innings the rest of the year for Garrett Crochet? You use him in the bullpen twice a week, let him go 30 to 40 pitches, maybe two innings, eighth and ninth, to keep his arm strong yet contained, because we know the innings pitched is way out of line compared to where he was last year and Tommy John the year before. I don't know what it's going to be, but Grifol did say before the game that Crochet won't pitch again until five games into the second half.
Right.
So when he says five games in, is he going to be a starter? Is he going into the bullpen?
Well,
is he going to be pitching for the Yankees?
Those are good questions, and I think Yankees are in play, and every one of the other teams that have called Chris Getz about his availability are in play. I think this, if he stays with the White Sox, his vote matters. He's somebody that if you keep him, you're building around him. He is the most important pitcher on your staff and one of the two most important players in your organization. So if Garrett Crochet, as he alluded to yesterday, and I think you were there, that he wants the certainty of starting every fifth day, even if it's in a limited role, I think you allow him that. You allow him to build a routine and a regimen around that idea, and then you build the arm up, because he is projected as an ace. He is projected to be your number one starter for years to come. Right. So I think that's the way you go.
So I have this is a rhetorical question for everybody out there, 312-644-6767. How do you keep an arm strong and where it's at by dumbing down the innings?
I think that's a trial and error, Bruce. I think you have to be confident in your plan. He's more of an opener than he is a closer, though. If you envision him as a starting pitcher in your future, I don't think you want to mess around with the uncertainty of using him as a closer two out of every 4 days, and you may not ever get a lead to protect if you're the White Sox on a historic pace to be the worst team in baseball history. So I don't know that you want to go that route and put him back in the bullpen.
David, you're basically putting him back in spring training. You're putting him back to – you're backing him up, hoping that he can somehow stay strong, stay the guy he is, and then shortening his innings load going forward, hoping that his arm responds to that as well. Okay?
But I think you have to look ahead. He's a starting pitcher. It's baseball. There's going to be some inherent risk. If he's going to be a starter moving forward, maybe his complete game is a five-inning game. Maybe that's the approach you take in the second half.
David, can you point? I'm sorry, I stepped on you there.
No, it's all right.
You're used to it.
Yeah, go ahead.
Can you point to one pitcher that you know of that was protected against throwing innings that got better, okay, that got a lengthened career? Is there Strasburg. Any documentation?
Strasburg was shut down, and then he came back and he won a World Series.
And then what?
He won a World Series. Okay, I think you missed that point, Bruce.
But he was pretty much done by the time he was 30.
Okay. And he won a World Series. I know what you're – there's no perfect solution. There's no perfect plan. But if you have a plan that includes shutting him down, bringing him back, and winning a World Series, it's not a bad
plan.
But
that doesn't do much for his career.
It sure did.
Well, he made a lot of money.
Thank you.
I don't think he had the career that he wanted to have.
Maybe he never would have. Maybe he would have been
– what I'm asking is, where is there proof that – not pitching a guy makes the guy's arm stronger, lengthens his career, makes him better? Protecting pitchers, I believe, and again, I can't document this, but protecting pitchers against pitching and throwing is not what it's all about.
Okay. Well, I think that's one of the opinions that has often been expressed. Are you coddling these pitchers and becoming even more, putting them in an environment even more conducive to injury? It's going to take a doctor or medical science to be able to prove or disprove that. I think we're still early in this process. So you follow your gut, you follow your people who you trust, and I just don't know if there's any one surefire way that you're going to see from the White Sox. You say, okay, I'm on board with that. Pitch him every fifth day. Be conservative. Follow your instincts. Follow your evidence. And then make the best decision according to those factors. But I don't think you put him in the bullpen and risk kind of the back and forth and up and down nature of the second half of the season.
So there's 30 teams out there. 29 might be wanting to trade for Crochet. How many different opinions do you think are out there as to how to handle this guy once you get him? Okay? I mean, that's going to be the fascinating thing, because – they are going to be hearing all kinds of offers here over the next few weeks. We're going to be hearing rumors that San Diego, the Dodgers, the Yankees, Baltimore, just about any team in baseball is going to put a package together to try to get Crochet. But how do you look at this guy? I think, David, the one thing that I go back to is how the Atlanta Braves – and they're starting pitchers with Maddox, Smoltz, and Glavin had their pitching program. And from everything I gathered, and I think we should probably try to get Maddox on again in the next few weeks to talk about that, because it's really worthwhile. Those guys threw every day in one particular way or another, every single day when they weren't starting. It was long toss. It was catch. It was a side session. So the way to keep an arm strong is to keep using it. The intelligent way to handle that probably differs from player to player and injury history to injury history.
I think it's a fair point, Bruce. And I'll say this before we break. The White Sox need to keep Garrett Crochet, because this is the way they're going to get back to being a respectable franchise and winning again. You look at what they're trying to do. You look at what they've been able to do somewhat successfully this year amidst all of the losing. They have their starting rotation has the third best earned run average in baseball since June 1st. They're making progress. Jonathan Cannon, Drew Thorpe, the young man we're speaking to at 10 o'clock, Garrett Crochet. You look at Noah Schultz on the way, Kai Bush. You can find Jake Eder was called up for a moment. This is progress. You don't want to delay that progress or derail the direction you're headed. Garrett Crochet is part of that, probably the biggest part of that. Keep him.
All right. Before we go to a break, I'll leave you with this. Will he ever have a higher value in the trade market than right now with 2 years left of contract control going into next year?
Maybe after he wins a Cy Young next year. I bet you his trade value would be pretty high, Bruce. Well, what do you think?
The Orioles won't trade him after that.
Oh, boy. You are so hell-bent on trading this guy. What's gotten into you? I mean, come on.
I love Garrett Crochet. I love everything about him. The thing that we talked about with Skeens and that believability in themselves, Garrett Crochet has that as well. He believes he's going to be a great pitcher. He's on his way. So I'm not looking to get him out of town. I'm looking at the perspective of where the White Sox are at and what is realistic as far as this rebuild goes. Is it a rebuild where you have an outstanding pitcher for the next 2 years while you're trying to get better, or does he bring you three players that helps you get to that goal quicker?
The Pirates on the other side of the town, or the other side of the field today, have Paul Skeens, Jared Jones, and young pitching that they're building around. They're doing pretty well. They have other position talent that's young and improving. The White Sox have Garrett Crochet and Drew Thorpe, and then Jonathan Cannon and company. They're taking the same path. It's not the wrong one. It's the right one. Stay down it, Chris Getz. There's no evidence that tells me that they have to get rid of Garrett Crochet because they don't know how to use him. Figure it out. Learn how to use him and keep him healthy. All right, that's enough. We'll get to some of your phone calls, 312-644-6767. Revisit what the Cubs are doing in St. Louis and what's ahead next for them. And today they have a doubleheader, and you don't want to miss it right here on The Score. You have the Cubs and the Cardinals pregame, 1240, and then tonight the nightcap for the Cubs and the Cardinals series. Keep it right here inside the clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Inside, and he hit him. Ouch.
Man, that was scary.
Yeah, it was, especially the way he had to get out of the way. It was just awkward. And Cody appears to be in some pain.
It kind of opens up.
Looks like it got him on the thumb. Yeah, just on that hand.
Welcome back inside the clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score. Thank you to NBC Sports Chicago for that highlight. Cody Bellinger broke his finger there, middle finger on his left hand, Bruce. He's on the 10-day injured list, likely out a month. The Cubs put him on the injured list. The corresponding move was to bring up Alex Canario. They've got three more right-handers on the mound for the Cardinals this weekend. I don't know if Alex Canario is going to get off the bench, Bruce. How equipped are the Cubs to deal with the loss of Cody Bellinger?
Well, you can never lose your number three hitter and be equipped to deal with that. How many number three hitters you have? Somebody will be in that lineup. Okay. They'll bat three, but whether Bellinger is hitting a lot of home runs or not, the impact of him being in that lineup is huge. And right-handed pitchers start games taking a little bit easier breathing going down the line when he's not in the lineup. And again, is he kind of disappointing this year because he's not hitting home runs? Yeah, I think so. I think 9 home runs after 100 games?
Not enough.
Not enough. I mean, he missed some time with the rib problem, the fracture. But again, what did he do last year from July on? 68 RBIs, the most in baseball. I know a lot of people do not like the RBI stat. I happen to love it. The guy was in the conversation for MVP, top 5-6 guys in baseball last year with those last 3 months. So he needs to get back in the lineup. He's not only their number three hitter, but he's a left-handed power bat. He's an influential bat. So in the long run, if he misses a month, that's going to hurt. But the other part of the offense stepping up is a good sign.
It is a good sign when Ian Happ and Suzuki and Bush are hitting the way that you expect them to hit, which is why I believe that the emergence of Miles Mastroboni as a defensive weapon, and I don't know if that's overstating it, but he has stood out with his glove over the last week. I think Craig Counsell loves that guy. He does swing from the left side, so in Bellinger's absence, it wouldn't surprise me if they lean or nod more to Mastroboni at third base, Morel as the DH, at least until Mike Tauchman gets back. He's in Arizona rehabbing. But, Bruce, don't you think that Mastroboni is the guy who becomes more crucial and maybe more obvious in Bellinger's absence?
Well, to answer your question in a roundabout way, which I've become an expert at, you look at Professor Counsell, trying to negotiate getting enough offense in a game and securing positions of when you have a ground ball pitcher out there. And Mastroboni and Bodie have become that guy It's certainly, as much as they've done their best to try to develop morale, he's not there, and there's plays that he just can't make, okay? Mastroboni alone has helped save a couple of games over the last week, just with his great defense over there. Bodie is a very good defensive guy. He's had some important hits off the bench as well. So subtly, Hoyer and Council get credit for solidifying the bench the best they can with what they had in the system. And you have to give them some credit for that. It is subliminal. It's not really noticeable if you don't pay attention to these lineup changes every day.
And David Bodie, to your point, Bruce, had a big pinch hit, drove in two runs last night with a big pinch hit, and he has been somebody who has responded when they've asked him to respond since coming up from Iowa. All right, we're going to go back to the White Sox at the top of the hour. Drew Thorpe, the young right-hander, will join us here on Inside the Clubhouse. But don't forget, if you're planning ahead, Cub fans, Monday, July 22nd, Bernstein, Holmes, and Rahimi. They'll be live from Brickhouse Tavern in Wrigleyville, 10 to 2, joined by Ian Happ, the Cubs outfielder who was red hot, and former All-Star Curtis Granderson at 1 o'clock. Be listening to their show from 10 to 2 all week long for your chance to win tickets for the big event. All brought to you by Bosch Power Tools, what hard workers deserve. It's Inside the Clubhouse. We'll be back with Drew Thorpe here at Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part? Hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Inside, and he hit him. Ouch.
Man, that was scary.
Yeah, it was, especially the way he had to get out of the way. It was just awkward. And Cody appears to be in some pain.
He kind of opens up.
Looks like it got him on the thumb. Yeah, just on that hand.
Welcome back inside the clubhouse. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Thank you to NBC Sports Chicago for that highlight. Cody Bellinger broke his finger there. Middle finger on his left hand, Bruce. He's on the 10-day injured list, likely out a month. The Cubs put him on the injured list. The corresponding move was to bring up Alex Canario. They've got three more right-handers on the mound for the Cardinals this weekend. I don't know if Alex Canario is going to get off the bench, Bruce. How equipped are the Cubs to deal with the loss of Cody Bellinger?
Well, you can never lose your number three hitter and be equipped to deal with that. How many number three hitters you have? Somebody will be in that lineup, okay? They'll bat three, but whether Bellinger is hitting a lot of home runs or not, the impact of him being in that lineup is huge. And right-handed pitchers start games taking a little bit easier breathing going down the line when he's not in the lineup. And again, is he kind of disappointing this year because he's not hitting home runs? Yeah, I think so. I think 9 home runs after 100 games?
Not enough.
Not enough. I mean, he missed some time with the rib problem, the fracture. But again, what did he do last year from July on? 68 RBIs, the most in baseball. I know A lot of people do not like the RBI stat. I happen to love it. The guy was in the conversation for MVP, top five, six guys in baseball last year with those last 3 months. So he needs to get back in the lineup. He's not only their number three hitter, but he's a left-handed power bat. He's an influential bat. So in the long run, if he misses a month, that's going to hurt. But the other part of the offense stepping up is a good sign.
It is a good sign when Ian Happ and Suzuki and Bush are hitting the way that you expect them to hit, which is why I believe that the emergence of Miles Mastroboni as a defensive weapon, and I don't know if that's overstating it, but he has stood out with his glove over the last week. I think Craig Counsell loves that guy. He does swing from the left side, so in Bellinger's absence, it wouldn't surprise me if they lean or nod more to Mastroboni at third base, Morel as the DH, at least until Mike Tauchman gets back. He's in Arizona rehabbing. But, Bruce, don't you think that Mastroboni is the guy who becomes more crucial and maybe more obvious in Bellinger's absence?
Well, to answer your question in a roundabout way, which I've become an expert at, you look at Counsell, Professor Counsell, trying to negotiate getting enough offense in a game and securing positions of when you have a ground ball pitcher out there. And Mastroboni and Bodie have become that guy. It's certainly, as much as they've done their best to try to develop Morel, he's not there, and there's plays that he just can't make, okay? Mastroboni alone has helped save a couple of games over the last week, just with his great defense over there. Bodie is a very good defensive guy. He's had some important hits off the bench as well. So subtly, Hoyer and Counsell get credit for solidifying the bench the best they can with what they had in the system. And you have to give them some credit for that. It is subliminal. It's not really noticeable if you don't pay attention to these lineup changes every day.
And David Bodie, to your point, Bruce, had a big pinch hit, drove in two runs last night with a big pinch hit, and he has been somebody who has responded when they've asked him to respond since coming up from Iowa. All right, we're going to go back to the White Sox at the top of the hour. Drew Thorpe, the young right-hander, will join us here on Inside the Clubhouse. But don't forget, if you're planning ahead, Cub fans, Monday, July 22nd, Bernstein, Holmes, and Rahimi. They'll be live from Brickhouse Tavern in Wrigleyville, 10 to 2, joined by Ian Happ, the Cubs outfielder who was red hot, and former All-Star Curtis Granderson at 1 o'clock. Be listening to their show from 10 to 2 all week long for your chance to win tickets for the big event. All brought to you by Bosch Power Tools, what hard workers deserve. It's Inside the Clubhouse. We'll be back with Drew Thorpe here at Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at MyBob's.com to play now.